I'm just saying, be real with you. I'm only going to have one drink at a time. Look. Y'all looking at me, Pastor, you're telling me I can't drink? I didn't say that. Know your limits. Don't use that as a thing that's going to give you that false security. Oh, I'm just going to drink just to get the little edge off. You ain't got no more edge. You're so rounded anyhow, you got no edges on you. I'm going to just knock the edge off. I just need to have just one. So when you get home, you can't even think straight. You don't even know how to function. It's a miracle you got home, but you can't even thank Jesus you got home. So it happens to be Saturday night when you want to do all your partying. You can't even make it to church on Sunday. He's calling us to say, wake up. You're putting all your focus on the worldly things as opposed to putting your hope and faith in me. He'll help you with your circumstances, but first he's going to help you with you. He wants you to make sure you're engaged in at least first gear so you can make that climb up that steep hill. But if you continue to just go and put it in neutral, you're not progressing in God. You're not growing in God. You're staying the way you are and being a detriment to others around you. Who is watching you in the times of your trials and your tribulations? Who is watching you? Who is watching to see, is God really good in your life? Who is watching you? I ain't talking about being spiritual and always carrying it. Well, that's not even a Bible, but you know, carrying a Bible around. Just because you got a Bible, I'm a Christian. The Bible didn't save you. The Bible don't make you holy, because guess who knows the Bible better than you? The devil. The devil. He knows the Bible up, down, sideways, upside down, inside and out, better than most pastors do. I don't rely on quoting you the scriptures. I don't. You know why I don't rely on it? Because I rely on Jesus Christ and his spirit to begin to minister to you. Because when Jesus quoted scripture to the devil threw some more back at him with half truth. That's why it's important to know the spirit of God that leads you in what? All truth. So what happens is we have people that want to act like they're Christians. I didn't forget about where I was going. When you first get called, we're all excited. We're all gung-ho about being in Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. We start throwing away liquor bottles. We start throwing away all kinds of CDs and music. And we start cutting off all the PGs and the R movies. We start doing all the, we start cutting off relationships and friendships that were there. And now I'm just alone. I'm alone with God. You're alone, all right. Because ain't nobody want to go around you because you think you're a goody two-shoe. You know how long that we have been in that state? And it did the Christianity no good. I was exactly that person. Can I be real for a little bit? Everything that I just stated, I did. Did we not do it? My brother-in-law came over. He said, what are you doing? I'm getting rid of all my CDs. And no, you're not. I'm taking them. Remember that? He said, man, that's good music. And he took it. He said, you pay for it, right? I said, yeah, you can have it if you want to. I'm not listening to no worldly music. Just Christian music. That lasted about a month. Because back in that day, there was no real good music. Christian music. I just couldn't. It didn't. Hey, brother-in-law, can we get together? There's some CDs over there I'd like to get back. But things begin to change in the Christian music, that they begin to be real, speak of real things, to let me know Christians go through real stuff. Do you understand? And it began to minister to me where I was at, and God used that to get me to understand it ain't about all this other stuff that you think people are looking at. It's about your heart. Your heart. How do you interact with people? Who's looking at you? Who's watching you? Who's keeping an eye on you? More than not, it's the one that's following you. It's called children. A generation. Here's the one that I really was a part of for a while. A long while. Anything that I do, I'm going to prophesy. Prophesy. I would go into restaurants because, you know, love food. would be sitting there eating food. Y'all know me about my food and my coffee. And I look at my mom and look at my wife and say, something's wrong with my stomach. I'm getting heartburn. I don't know what it is. And I put my food away, and, you know, that's a miracle to push it away. And all of a sudden, I hear something in my head just speak to me. And say, what is that? And all of a sudden, everybody in the room disappears but one person. And there's that one person. So I would go with her, looking for any sign that they're Christians. Show me a cross, something, say Jesus, say hallelujah, and then I'll prophesy to you. I was so scared, but then I'd begin to release it, turn around, everybody reappeared in the room. That's how God works with me. And then I'd go back and sit down, my mom's laughing at me. I'd go through a whole thing of Rolaids, Tums, and everything, thinking it would take that away. But the moment I would deliver, it would be gone. And then I could just eat. So then what happened was I got comfortable with using that as a way to be identified as a Christian. And some of the things I wouldn't hear from God, I'd just force it. And I would do that. Then the other thing I would do, because I think it's better for me to just be isolated in the time with Jesus. I'm not going to go to church right now. It's not going to go. It's just because it's me and God. I'm the church. I'm his temple. And I'll just have church on TV. Listen to CDs. Well, that got old. But it took me 2 years to realize how old it was. You know what kind of growth would have taken place if I would have just surrendered to relationship as opposed to religion? I went and reverted back to something that I thought was going to give me a sense of security, a religious way, as opposed to a relational way with Jesus. I went neutral at that moment. Engage. Continue on. Now, when you get the phone call late at night, don't get out of bed, because you have a tendency to stumble, stub your toe, step on a cat, step on a dog, step on some things that they left you, because you can't focus, right? Can't focus. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all have obstacles in your room. It's called clothing that you didn't put away. You get up and you're so discombobulated you can't even focus, right? So don't even try to get to running or walking, because you got to get focused first. The key is that if we don't fall asleep in the spirit and we stay keen to the spirit of God, we begin to understand that he has a purpose for us. And that purpose is to reach other people and to teach them of the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Not this way. Oh, this is what was happened for so many years. You need to go to church. You need Jesus. You need deliverance. I see a demon. And you notice every time I did this, how many fingers are pointed back at me? Three. Mira, you need it. Oh, wait a minute. You got a demon, I got three. You need deliverance, I need three deliverances. And for so long, that's the way the church was. We were always busy looking at other people to tell them their mess, as opposed to looking in the mirror to see our own mess. Not the mess that you called to be something that you're not clean. The mess is your message. Your life is your message. Your life is. How did he come through for you is the message I'm going to give somebody else hope about Jesus. That's all that is. Oh, you're an alcoholic. Okay, I'm three times an alcoholic. You're a drug addict. I'm three times a drug addict. Why? Because in the manner in which you judge, you're being judged as well. Quit the judgmental attitudes towards people. Embrace them in love. The perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. And that's what we're supposed to do. Trusting in your own strength, zeal, and not God's strength. Matthew 36:5. You got it, Will? I'm sorry. It's 26. Typo. 26. I was just making sure y'all were awake. Are you sure y'all were watching, paying attention? Matthew 26:50. You have it, Will? Okay, continue reading, please.
Matthew 26:50.
Yes.
Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." That's what you wanted me to read, right?
Continue reading, yes. Okay.
Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
Continue.
With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
Who was that servant? Who was the follower?
Peter.
What did Peter do? He relied on his own strength, his own zeal. And he did something that he wasn't called to do. He wasn't called to fight in the manner of drawing a sword. He was called to pray. He was called to pray. Now, if you go and read now in Matthew, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Continue reading, Will.
"Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him.
Continue.
"For all who draw the sword will die by the sword."
Mm-hmm.
"Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?"
Even Jesus can call angels.
"But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?"
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Mm-hmm. Every day I sat in the temple of courts teaching, and you did not arrest me."
Every day I was with you teaching you, and you didn't arrest me then. Continue on.
"But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him.
Stop right there. Read that again.
"Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled."
How many disciples?
All of them.
What did they do?
Fled.
They deserted him and fled. All of them did. All of them did. Why is this story only about Peter? Because Peter has a tendency to want to be heard. Has a tendency to want to be, I got all the answers. You're the Son of the living God. That's who you are. I got the answers. I got them. You run across people like that. They got all the answers. And usually the wrong advice that they're giving you, right? Just like Job, his friends came to give him the wrong advice. He's the one that had to pray for them. Continue reading, sir.
"Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance."
Stay right there. What did Peter do? At a distance. Can you say neutral? He went from engaging in first and following after him to going in neutral and following at a distance. We must move pride out of our spirit. We must put prayer into our life. And we must not be the sleeping church, but we must stay on guard. The other thing we must do is to not trust in our own strength, but to trust in God's strength. But do not follow at a distance. Follow closely. Follow closely. Here's what happened when he followed at a distance. He began to follow as they're leading Jesus away. But guess who he's walking with? He's walking with those that came to take him away. As you continue reading on, if you would, though, go to Luke 22, 31 through 34. Luke 22. When you're there, say amen. You have it, Will? Okay. Begin reading when you have it. Luke 22, 31 through 34.
"Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers."
Look at right here where he says that I have prayed for you because Satan himself has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back. When you've come back, strengthen your brothers. So when you stumble and you fall, you're going to come back. But the purpose of you coming back is to strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Your biggest mistake is somebody else's life. That you're the key that's going to help them come up out of that mistake and not to make that mistake again. Or for you to learn from your mistake, learn from it, don't make it again, Learn from it so that you can grow in God and engage once again. Continue reading, sir.
But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
To prison. He made a very bold statement here. Did you see that? I'm going to go with you to prison and to death. I'm going with you. That's why Simon is used here, because he's the one that's vocal. He's the one that needs to be heard. Now watch this. Continue reading.
Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me.
Here comes Jesus, the denial. Continue on.
Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered.
Stop right there. When I sent you with nothing, did you lack anything? Did you lack anything? Where's the trust now? The trust is always in him, not your own power, not your own zeal, but in God. Go down to 39 and begin reading, sir.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation.
Remember I was talking about that? He found them sleeping, correct? All right, go down to 47.
While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
How many times does the enemy come at you and try to be so loving? I got you, I love you, and this and that, and gives you that Judas kiss. How many of you have experienced that before? We all need a Judas in our life to get us to where we need to go. Sometimes people are going to come against you, but it's to show you that you need to go in the direction you need to go in. You just got to continue on, because Judas was actually the one that got Jesus to his desired end, which is his beginning as Christ the Lord. Do you understand? We all need a Judas that comes into our life to show us how much we really need Jesus as well. Amen? All right, go down to 52.
Then Jesus said to the chief priest, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had came for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns.
This same thing that was written in Matthew, right? Continue reading.
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Mm-hmm. Peter followed at a distance.
Continue.
But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard.
Okay, here's where we begin to see that Dr. Luke here begins to write something that is not in the other Gospels. He gives an account of a fire in the middle court. Do you see that? Are you reading the same thing? And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, had sat down together, who sat with them? When you follow at a distance, you have a tendency to go and sit with the enemy and make residence with the enemy as opposed to making residence and covenant with Jesus. When you follow at a distance, it's easier to be led away, and you begin to seek after the warmth and the light that is false, that is not after the true light. Do you understand? And what happens is you may stand first at the fire that the enemy has made, and now you're just standing by the fire. You haven't even done nothing yet. You know, like when you go on a date, the first date, and you're about 18 years old, and you go on the first date, you should have a chaperone so you don't do something you're not supposed to do. But anyways, you go by yourself. You go to the movies. It's a little dark. You sit a little bit too close together. But, you know, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. This isn't right. But, oh, we're going to go now. We're just going to go get a hotel because we're 18. You're no longer standing by the fire. You're getting ready to sit down. You're getting ready to lay down in the fire. And then you want to pray that... Should I say it, Andrew? You want to pray that that thing don't come to fruition. No, you should have prayed before. You know, quit acting so grown that you don't need chaperones. That you can be left alone with the opposite sex. And for some, just have a tendency to just want to go try different things. You don't pray then, you pray before. But then you get all mad at God when things go wrong, when you were the one that chose to do it yourself. Trying to help you in here. Don't get mad at the choice to go in towards the fire that the enemy has kindled in the courtyard. Where was that courtyard? Right next to the temple. In other words, the enemy's fire is right outside. The enemy's fire is right inside too. Don't be getting all mad because things go a little sideways. You chose to get close to that fire as opposed to following with him and not at a distance. Do you understand? Oh, trouble is going to come. Jesus promised that, not me. Trouble will come. And when it comes, get to the right fire. Here's the beautiful thing about this. And as I continue reading on, and when some had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard, he sat down together. Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. You know, candlelight. You know, like, you know, married couples. Should be together at all times. I'm going to set someone free in here. Shouldn't be going out separately. It's a guy's night out. No, it ain't. You said I do to your wife or your husband. Get back over there. Well, I need my own time. No, you gave that up when you said I do. Because you became one. Just saying. I'm just saying. I'm going to move on. Look, it says right here in verse 56. And she looked closely at him. Closely. The googly eye. You were with him. You gave ojitos. Now what happens is the enemy knows how to use what God has said that you're about to do. He's going to make sure that he brings it to pass. Do you understand? Because what is the enemy? He's just God's tool. Why are you fearing the enemy when he's under your feet? Remember Pastor Pete said, just get back underneath there. What are you doing? Get it. Remember that? What happened? He got too comfortable around the enemy's fire. Why would he be so scared of a woman that, first of all, shouldn't be speaking to the man? Because they're in the courtyard of the temple. And women, put that around your face real quick. You know how they're supposed to do? All you're supposed to see is just the eyes. That's why she could look at him with just. Why would it be scared of a woman that shouldn't even be speaking to him? Because she's speaking of truth, Miss Kathy. You're absolutely right. She's speaking of truth. The enemy was saying, okay, you're going to deny before the crow even, rooster crows, you're going to deny three times. I'm going to make it to the point you're going to deny. It would have been something that would have came. It'd have been something. You were with Jesus. It'd have been different then. Do that again. What is so threatening about ojitos? What is threatening about ojitos? You were with Jesus. No, I was not. Denial. Denial doesn't have to come with a threat. It does not have to come with threat. It's that you chose to follow something different than Jesus. You went idle. You went into neutral. And what happened? You began to fall back, sliding backwards. But you have an opportunity to engage. Just put it in gear and go forward. Don't stay there where you're at. Don't even get close to the enemy's fire. If you happen to be at the enemy's fire, guess what happens? Jesus still had an eye on Peter from inside, looking out, could see Peter getting ready to deny him the third time, and he watched him in agony. He didn't care that they were spitting on him. He didn't care that they were lying about him. He cared about the one that he loved so much. He looked at Simon Peter, and when he denied him the third time, he knew something inside of him came true. Is that, oh my God, that is truly the Son of God, that he still has his eye on me even when I'm at the enemy's camp around the enemy's fire. He has his eye on you like the eye on the sparrow. You may think that you're insignificant, but he has his eye on you. Even when you're going through what you're going through, he has his eye on you. You may be sitting there with the enemy plotting against Jesus and the movement of the gospel, but he has his eye on you. He ain't gonna let you die. He ain't gonna let you go to the grave. He has his eye on you. He's watching you. He's making sure that he keeps a close eye on you, because at any moment he's going to step right in, say, this one is my child. This one is mine. I'm going to fight to the end, because I will shed all my blood for that one. Even when he denies me, I'm not giving up on you, Peter. I'm not going to let you go. But when you come back, I will meet you where? Right next to the fire that I have made for you. That I made for you. And I will bring you alone to my side. And I will tell you, you are the one. The one that's going to feed my sheep. You are the one that is going to bring holiness back unto my people. Because I've had my eye on you. I've watched you when you've gone through. I've watched you when you made mistakes. I've been with you when you were walking with the devil. As he was on the right side, I was on the left. I walked with you. I stayed with you. And when you cried out to me, I heard you. And when you said, God, help me, I stepped right in. And I bring hope back to a dying people that have no hope.
Yes, you do, Lord.
I don't care what you're going through. The devil cannot compete with God's yes. He cannot take you out unless he has permission first. And God says, I have made you to have life and to have it more abundantly. And if you got issues in your life, know this. I am God Almighty that will be with you every step of the way. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you to the very end. I'm with you to the very end. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. God is with you. Even when you think that you're alone, he is with you. He don't want to let you go down to the grave carrying the old stuff. He wants you to arise, wake up, and grab hold of the future in him, because he shed his blood for you. He watched Peter as he's in the court being accused. But then he sees Peter the second time when he comes to him, and he calls him from the first place that he met him when he was in the boat. He says, come unto me. And he met him at the next fire. He says, now go and feed my sheep. God will always meet you at that place where you first walked away from him. You think that you left him, that you're not going to grow? When I was out of church for 2 years, I had nothing to do with Jesus. I wanted nothing to do. I cursed God, got mad at everything. But the first thing that I did was when I came back to God, I loved him. I loved him because he first loved me. All we've got to do is go back, put it in gear, engage, and trust that he loves you to the very end. He loves you to the very end. Don't quit. Don't quit. And don't make residence. Don't get comfortable around the enemy's fire. But you say, I don't know how to get out of this thing. Cry out unto Jesus. Cry out unto Jesus. He's going to help you come through. He's going to help you come forth. And know this is only about the shed blood of our Savior that gives us hope. Well, I've been battling this thing for so long, and I feel like I'm alone. He's just like my mama was looking for me when I was lost. She wasn't lost. I was lost. As a mama, she cried out for me like Jesus is crying out for you. He's crying out for you to get back. Get back into position. Get back. Engage. Come back. Come back. This should be the greatest comeback in church history, is people coming back to Jesus Christ. Not coming back because of guilt, but because he loved you first. First. So when you come home, he waits for you with loving arms. Know this. He said that those that live by the sword die by the sword. So don't try to take a sword to someone. Bring the heart of Jesus. Love him and embrace him. And the manner that you judge, you turn, will be judged in that manner. And he's bringing about a change to wake his people. to arise, to keep moving forward, and not to quit. Not to quit. It gets hard. It does. Life is hard, period. Add Jesus in the mix. Now you got to add the devil in there as well. Here's the thing. That's part of life. It is. But know that he's there to fight the battle with you and for you. And whatever you're going through, you may have sickness in your body. You may have despair in your heart. And you may have confusion about what the next step is in your life. God wants to bring healing to you right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Father.